Hey, and welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, and we had 8 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Cleveland, the Hornets defeated the Cavaliers, 119-98. In Orlando, the Pacers defeated the Magic in overtime, 122-114. In Philadelphia, the 76ers beat the Knicks, 123-108. In Houston, the Jazz beat the Rockets, also in overtime, 132-127. In Milwaukee, the Bucks just edged past the Heat, 120-119. In New Orleans, the Pelicans laid the smackdown on the Kings, 125-95. In Denver, the Thunder beat the Nuggets, 119-107. And finally, in Phoenix, the Suns easily defeated the Trailblazers, 120-90. So we will break down all 8 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers were defeated by the Charlotte Hornets, 119-98. The Hornets were led by Terry Rozier. He had 29 points in the starting lineup. He had 7 rebounds and 7 assists. And they also got 19 points off the bench from Kelly Oubre and 15 points from Miles Bridges. Whereas the Cavaliers got Darius Garland back in the lineup, and he led the team in scoring. He had 33 points, and they also got a double-double from Jarrett Allen, 18-11, and 12 points from Lauri Markkanen. But this game was pretty much a blowout in the end. The Hornets started to open up their lead in the first quarter. They outscored the Cavs 38-31, and then they proceeded to outscore Cleveland in every other quarter. By halftime, they had built up a 15-point lead, and then they pretty much just maintained that significant lead throughout the entire second half. It was a double-digit lead comfortably for the Hornets throughout the entire second half. So a really dominant win here for Charlotte in Cleveland. And they just played a really clean, efficient game. Only 12 turnovers. They shot 50% from the field, 44% from three. And they dominated on the boards, too, 45-37. Cleveland didn't shoot the ball terribly. They were 46% from the field, but only 32% from three. So that is a pretty big disparity, especially from beyond the arc. And so ultimately, an impressive win for Charlotte takes them to 31-33. So they're still in ninth in the Eastern Conference, but they are 1.5 games behind the Brooklyn Nets in eighth, and then they're just half a game up on the Atlanta Hawks in 10th. And the Hornets are -0.4 in the point differential, which puts them about where they should be in the conference standings. And they're only 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Cavaliers, this loss takes them to 36-26, so they're still in 5th in the East, but they are now just ahead of the Boston Celtics by a couple of percentage points. They've played 2 less games than the Celtics, and then they're 1.5 games behind the Bucks in 4th. So the Cavaliers slipping further and further away from the top of the East, and it looks like they will be surpassed by the Celtics sooner rather than later. The Cavs are 5-5 in their last 10. They're on a 2-game losing streak, but they still have that plus 3.5 point differential, which is tied with the Bucks for 3rd best in the East. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Hornets were led, as I mentioned, by Terry Rozier in the starting lineup. He had 29 points in 33 minutes. He was 9 of 19 from the field, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. So really solid shooting for Rozier, and he had 9 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals and a block, 0 turnovers. Really solid game from Rozier. And then they also got 15 points from Miles Bridges. He was 7 of 12 from the field in 36 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 12 points for P.J. Washington, and he was perfect, 5 of 5 from the field, including 2 three-pointers in 28 minutes. He had 3 rebounds. 7 points for the big man, Mason Plumlee. He was the team high, plus 26 in the plus-minus, and he had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And LaMelo Ball, rounding out the starting lineup, just played 8 minutes before going out of this game. He had 2 points and 4 assists in that time. And off the bench for Charlotte, they got 19 points from Kelly Oubre Jr. in 27 minutes. He was 7 of 15 from the field and 5 of 11 from beyond the arc. Incredible shooting from Oubre. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. 11 points for Montrezl Harrell, the backup big man. In just 17 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 9 rebounds. 10 points for the recent acquisition, Isaiah Thomas. They just picked him up on a 10-day contract, and he made an immediate impact. 4 of 11 from the field, 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. And then they also got 8 points from Cody Martin in 33 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. He was plus 23 in the plus-minus. And 2 points for Nick Richards, 4 points for the rookie JT Thor. And as for the Cavaliers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Darius Garland making his return. He had 33 points in 33 minutes. No rest for Garland. He was 13 of 22 from the field, 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. And he had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. Now, he did have 7 turnovers, but that was pretty much the only mark against him in this one. A really solid return for Garland. And then they got 18 and 11 from Jared Allen. And he was very efficient, 7 of 9 from the field. He had 2 steals and a block. And then they got 12 points from Lauri Markkanen in 31 minutes, but he was not nearly as efficient, 3 of 10 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. 9 points for the rookie, Evan Mobley, in 30 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And 4 points for Isaac Okoro, the sophomore, rounding out the starting lineup in 28 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field. And off the bench for the Cavaliers, they got 9 points from Jetty Osman in 20 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 4 assists. 7 points for Kevin Love, the backup big man. In 18 minutes, he was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 5 assists. And then they also got 2 points from Dean Wade, 2 points from Lamar Stevens as well, and 2 points for RJ Nembhard. All right, next up we can move on to Orlando, where the Pacers defeated the Magic in overtime, 122-114. The Pacers were led by Malcolm Brogdon. He had a masterclass performance, 31 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and he was clutch down the stretch. And they also got 21 points from Tyrese Halliburton, 17 from Buddy Hield, 16 from Isaiah Jackson. Really impressive performances across the board from the Pacers. Whereas the Magic were led by a couple of rookies, Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs. So Wagner had 28 points in the starting lineup. He was 10 of 18 from the field. And then they got 14 from Jalen Suggs. They also got 19 and 12 from Mo Bamba and 13 and 18 from Wendell Carter. So the bigs really putting in work, especially in the paint for the Magic. But unfortunately for them, it was not quite enough in the end. It was a really close game down the stretch, but it was actually the Magic who were leading pretty significantly early on. They were up after the first quarter by 9 points. It was 31-22 going into the second quarter, and then the Pacers cut the deficit a little bit in the second, but then the Magic reestablished a significant lead in the third quarter after a 19-foot jump shot from Wendell Carter with 4 minutes to go in the third. It was nearly a 20-point game. It was 84-66. So it looked like the Magic were going to cruise to victory in the end. But then the fourth quarter was all Indiana. They outscored Orlando 34-19. So they came storming back. They quickly tied the game up. And then it was just back and forth down the stretch. And ultimately, like I said, Malcolm Brogdon was clutch. He helped extend the game to overtime. And then in the extra 5 minutes, the Pacers just dominated, outscoring the Magic 12-4. In the final couple of minutes of overtime, Buddy Hield and Tyrese Halliburton hit back-to-back three-pointers, and that pretty much put the nail in the coffin. They went from being tied 112 all to being up by 6 with just a minute to go. So a clutch victory in the end for the Pacers in Orlando, and they didn't even shoot the ball that well. They were 43% from the field, 32% from three, which is about as well as the Magic shot, and both teams were pretty sloppy with the ball as well. 18 turnovers for the Pacers, 20 turnovers for the Magic, so there was not really that much separating these teams in the end, but the Pacers just made those clutch shots to ultimately get the victory. And so with this win, they now improve to 22-42, so they're still down in 13th in the Eastern Conference. They are 6 games ahead of the Detroit Pistons in 14th, and they're 4 games behind the New York Knicks in 13th. And the Pacers are 3-7 in their last 10 games. They are negative 2.4 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. And as for the Magic, this loss takes them to 15-48. So they are not only at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, they are at the bottom of the entire NBA. They've got the worst record in the league. Although they've only got the third worst point differential, they're negative 8.0. The Pistons and Rockets are worse, and they are also 3-7 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Pacers were led, as I mentioned, by Malcolm Brogdon. He just had a masterclass performance, 31 points in 41 minutes. He was 8 of 18 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, 12 of 15 from the free throw line, and he had 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and only 1 turnover. Really good stuff for Brogdon. They look so much better with him in the lineup alongside Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield. And so moving right along to those two, Halliburton was also fantastic, 21 points in 40 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field, 3 of 10 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. And then Hield had 17 points. He was much less efficient, 6 of 17 from the field. He had 4 threes, though, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He had 5 turnovers as well. And then they got 16 points from the rookie Isaiah Jackson, still starting in place of Miles Turner. And he was perfect, 8 of 8 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, rebounds, one steal, one block to go along with his 16 points. Really good stuff for the rookie Jackson. And then 6 points for O'Shea Brissett, rounding out the starting lineup. He was ice cold in this game, 1 of 7 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And off the bench for the Pacers, they got 15 points and 15 rebounds from Jalen Smith. In 37 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field, and he had 1 steal, 1 block. He was plus 27 in the plus-minus, which was by far the team high. Then they also got 7 points from Lance Stephenson. In 13 minutes, he was 3 of 8 from the field. 6 points for Terry Taylor in 18 minutes, and 3 points for Dwayne Washington Jr., although he was also ice cold, going 1 of 9 from the field. And as for the Magic, they were led, as I mentioned, by Franz Wagner, the rookie, in the starting lineup. He was incredible. 28 points in 36 minutes, and he was very efficient. 10 of 18 from the field and 4 of 6 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. Then they also got big double-doubles from Wendell Carter and Mo Bamba. Carter had 13 points and 18 rebounds in 41 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 6 turnovers. And Bamba had 19 points, 12 rebounds in 34 minutes. He was 8 of 9 from the field, including 2 3-pointers, and he had 1 steal and 1 block. And then 14 points for Jalen Suggs, the rookie point guard, in 33 minutes. He was a little bit less efficient, 6 of 15 from the field, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. And Cole Anthony, the sophomore point guard, rounding out the starting lineup, he had 11 points in 38 minutes. He was 4 of 13 from the field, so not much better in terms of the efficiency. He was also 0 of 4 from the 3-point line. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And off the bench for the Magic, they got 11 points from Markel Fultz. In his second game back, he was incredibly efficient once again in limited minutes. Just 15 minutes for Fultz, but he was 5 of 6 from the field in that time. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He did have 4 turnovers, but nonetheless, incredible production in very limited minutes from Fultz in his first 2 games back for the Magic. Then they also got 6 points from Terrence Ross. He had 2 threes and 2 rebounds in 16 minutes. 5 points for RJ Hampton in 17 minutes, 5 as well for Chuma Okeke, although he was just 2 of 10 from the field, and 2 points for Gary Harris. He was 0 of 3 from the field. All right, next we can move on to Philadelphia, where the 76ers easily defeated the Knicks, 123-108. James Harden's third game for the 76ers went just about as well as his first two. He was incredible once again, although Joel Embiid actually led the team in scoring. He had 27 points and 12 rebounds, but Harden nearly had a triple-double, 26 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists. And then they also got 25 from Tyrese Maxey. So for the third game in a row, James Harden's third game as a 76er, all three of the big three, the new big three, I should say, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, and Joel Embiid were just incredible. They have all scored at least 20 points in all three of the games since James Harden has arrived. So any fit issues that people were worried with Harden alongside Embiid or Harden alongside Maxey, those have definitely been assuaged, at least so far. They've been playing very well together, and in the end, they cruised to an easy victory in Philadelphia against the Knicks for the second time in a row, whereas they were led by RJ Barrett. He had 30 points. He was 10 of 23 from the field. Then they also got 24 from Julius Randle and 11 points off the bench from Emmanuel Quickley. But like I said, a comfortable win in the end for Philadelphia. They were actually trailing significantly in the second quarter. The Knicks had outscored the 76ers 33-25 in the first, so they were leading by double digits at various points throughout the second quarter, but they started to lose that lead by the end of the first half. It was just a 7-point advantage for the Knicks at the half, and then the 76ers immediately continued to erase that deficit in the third quarter, quickly tying the game up, and then it was back and forth for a few minutes in the middle of the third quarter, but then they started to take a lead at the end of the third. Overall, they outscored the Knicks 38-19 in that third quarter, so they were leading by double digits heading into the fourth, and then they just maintained and even expanded upon that lead a little bit in that final period. So yet another emphatic victory for the Sixers. They were 52% from the field, 47% from three. Now, they did have 14 turnovers versus just 10 for the Knicks, but New York just couldn't buy a bucket in this game. They were 42% from the field, 28% from three. So good stuff for the 76ers. They now improved to 38-23, so that is good for third in the Eastern Conference, but they are now just half a game behind the Chicago Bulls in second, 2 games off the top spot, the Miami Heat in first, and then they're 1 game up on the Bucks in fourth. They've got a plus 2.5 point differential, and they are on a 4-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Knicks, this loss takes them to 25-37. So they are still down in 12th in the Eastern Conference. They are now 3.5 games behind the Wizards in 11th, and then they're just 4 games up on the Pacers in 13th. and they now have a negative 2.2 point differential. They're on a 6-game losing streak, and they're 1-9 in their last 10. That is the worst record over the last 10 games of any team in the Eastern Conference. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Knicks were led, as I mentioned, by RJ Barrett. In 40 minutes, he had 30 points on 10 of 23 shooting. He had 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, and then they also got 24 points from Julius Randle. He was 9 of 21 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. 10 points for Mitchell Robinson. He was 5 of 6 from the field in 21 minutes, although he was 0 of 2 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds and 1 block. 9 points for Alec Burks. He was ice cold in this game, 2 of 11 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. And Evan Fournier was also ice cold, 1 of 8 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. And off the bench for the Knicks, they got 11 points from the sophomore, Emmanuel Quickley. In 20 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal. They also got 7 points from Cam Reddish, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in 23 minutes, 5 points for Taj Gibson, the veteran backup big man, 4 points for Obi Toppin, 2 for Jericho Sims, he had 6 rebounds, and 3 points for the rookie Miles McBride. And as for the 76ers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and James Harden, all of whom scored at least 25 points. So Embiid led the way with 27 in 35 minutes. He was 7 of 15 from the field, 11 of 13 from the free throw line. He had 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Then they also got 26 points from James Harden. He was 8 of 13 from the field, so very efficient, and 8 of 10 from the free throw line. So Embiid and Harden once again getting to the free throw line for at least 20 attempts. That is just incredible, especially considering their efficiency from the free throw line. Harden also had 9 rebounds and 9 assists. And then 25 points for Tyrese Maxey, the sophomore. In 36 minutes, he was 7 of 12 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, and he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So really just impressive efficiency for all three of those guys. Maxey also had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He and Embiid were plus 22 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. And they also got 14 points from Tobias Harris. In 29 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. And 10 points for Matisse Thybulle, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 4 of 6 from the field, including 2 three-pointers in 25 minutes. And he also had 2 assists and 3 blocks. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 6 points from Danny Green and George Niang, both of whom had 2 three-pointers. Green had 3 assists, Niang had 4 rebounds, 3 points for Paul Reed, and 6 points as well for Shake Milton in 20 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to Houston, where the Rockets were just defeated by the Utah Jazz in overtime, 132-127. Christian Wood had a clutch 3-pointer buzzer beater at the end of regulation to force overtime. But then Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley were just too good in the extra time. They scored 9 of the Jazz 15 points in overtime. The less experienced Rockets just could not keep up. And overall, Donovan Mitchell led the way for the Jazz. He had 37 points in this game to go along with 10 assists. And then they also got a huge double-double from Rudy Gobert, 27 points and 17 rebounds. And then they got 18 points from Bojan Bogdanovic. Whereas the Rockets were led by the rookie Jalen Green. This is a couple of games in a row where he has led the team in scoring, and he was very efficient in this game. 27 points on 11 of 16 shooting, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc. That is a really good sign for Houston. And they also got 24 points and 10 rebounds from Christian Wood, and 20 points off the bench from Kenyon Martin Jr. But like I said, this was an exciting finish. It was the Jazz who were leading throughout the majority of regulation. They had outscored the Rockets in the second quarter 41-33. So they were leading by double digits at the half, and then they maintained a lead throughout the third and most of the fourth quarter as well. But then eventually, at the end of the fourth, they sort of sputtered and allowed the Rockets to get back in this game. There was a couple of clutch three-pointers from KJ Martin and Christian Wood that helped the Rockets cut that deficit. And then at the very end of the game, it was actually Mike Conley who had a three-pointer for the Jazz that put them up 117 all with 8 seconds to go. So it looked like that might have been the death knell. But then Christian Wood, with that crazy buzzer beater at the end of regulation, sent it to overtime. But then the Jazz closed the game out. And overall, I think they were pretty deserving of this victory. They shot very efficiently from the field, 54%, and they totally dominated on the glass. They out-rebounded the Rockets 49-35, so it was really Rudy Gobert just dominating in the paint. He was 12 of 14 from the field in this game. But credit to the Rockets, they actually shot the three ball very well in this game. They were 41% from beyond the arc, whereas the Jazz were just 35%. And the Rockets had 17 turnovers, which is a lot, but that was actually less than the Jazz. They had 18 turnovers. So the Rockets did well to be in this game late, but ultimately the Jazz were just too good. And so with this victory, they now improved to 39-22. So that is good for fourth place in the Western Conference for the Jazz. They are three games behind the Memphis Grizzlies in third, and they are 2.5 games up on the Dallas Mavericks in fifth. And the Jazz are plus 6.7 in the point differential, which is clearly third best in the entire NBA. They're on a three-game winning streak, and they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. That's the best mark of any team in the Western Conference. And as for the Rockets, this loss takes them to 15-47. So they are, of course, still in last in the West. They are now 5 games behind the OKC Thunder in 14th. And they've got a negative 9.5 point differential, which is tied with the Pistons for worst in the NBA. And they're on an 11-game losing streak. And, of course, that is, in fact, worst in the league. So clearly, the tank is in full effect there in Houston, and it's looking pretty likely that they will be one of the worst teams in the NBA this year and get one of those top picks in the draft. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Jazz were led, as I mentioned, by Donovan Mitchell, 37 points in 40 minutes. He was 13 of 27 from the field, 4 of 14 from 3. He had 2 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 6 turnovers, but he was plus 10 in the plus-minus. Then they also got 27 points from Rudy Gobert. He was just dominant in this game in 38 minutes, 12 of 14 from the field. And he also had 17 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. That is just fantastic production from Rudy Gobert. Although, interestingly, he was negative 12 in the plus-minus, which was actually the team low. But they also got 18 points from Bojan Bogdanovic in 36 minutes. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 4 threes, 5 rebounds. 15 points for Mike Conley. In 34 minutes, he was 4 of 10 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and 4 steals. And then 8 points for Royce O'Neal in 36 minutes. He was perfect, 4 of 4 from the field, and he had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. And off the bench for the Jazz, they got 14 points from Jordan Clarkson in 25 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 5 points for Daniel House in 17 minutes, 4 for Hassan Whiteside, 3 for Rudy Gay, and Trent Forrest saw the court briefly but did not score. And as for the Rockets, they were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie point guard, Jalen Green. He had 27 points in 47 minutes, but he was very efficient. 11 of 16 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. Now, he only got to the free throw line for one attempt, so you'd like to see him try and get into the lane and draw contact a little bit more than he has been doing. That would increase his efficiency even more, but you love to see the 11 of 16 from the field nonetheless, and he also had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they got a double-double from Christian Wood, 24 points and 10 rebounds in 43 minutes. He was 8 of 13 from the field. He had 4 threes, 5 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Nice production from Wood. And then a double-double from Kevin Porter as well, 16 points and 12 assists, although he was just 6 of 14 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. And then Garrison Matthews was in the starting lineup in place of Eric Gordon, and he had 14 points on 3 of 8 shooting from 3. He had 6 rebounds, and 9 points for Jayshon Tate rounding out the starting lineup. He was 3 of 5 from 3. And off the bench for the Rockets, they got 20 points from KJ Martin in 36 minutes. He was 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, and he had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Nice production from Kenyon Martin Jr. And then they also got 8 points from David Nwaba in 10 minutes, 5 points from Alperen Şengün, the other rookie, although he was ice cold, 0 of 6 from the field. And then 4 points for Josh Christopher, the third rookie, but he was also ice cold, 1 of 4 from the field. All right, next up we can move on to Milwaukee, where the Bucks just edged past the Miami Heat, 120-119. Two heavy hitters in the Eastern Conference, and Jrue Holiday saves the day for the Bucks. In the end, they were trailing pretty significantly in the fourth quarter. It was 113-99 with 7 minutes to go after a three-pointer from Gabe Vincent. The Heat were just knocking down a three-pointer after three-pointer, and so they had that double-digit lead in the fourth, but the Bucks came storming back. They closed that deficit. In the final seconds of this game, there was a three-pointer from Chris Middleton with 13 seconds to go. That one cut the deficit to 1. It was 118-119, and then Jrue Holiday finished the game off with a floater over Bam Adebayo that gave the Bucks the victory. So an exciting finish and a clutch comeback from the Bucks. The Heat thought they had this thing wrapped up, but a resilient win for the Bucks. And overall, they didn't even shoot the ball as well as the Heat. They were both 45% from the field, but the Bucks were 38% from three, whereas the Heat were 47% from beyond the arc. But the Bucks did have a slight edge in terms of the rebounding, and then the turnovers were exactly the same. And so this was obviously a very close game in the end, but the Bucks just got the win, and so they now improved to 38-25. So that is good for fourth in the Eastern Conference. They're one game behind the Philadelphia 76ers in third, three games out from the Heat in first, and then they're 1.5 games up on the Cavs and Celtics in fifth and sixth. And the Bucks have a plus 3.5 point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. There's a couple of teams below them that are better, but a couple teams ahead of them that are worse. They're on a two-game winning streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Heat, this loss takes them to 41-22, so they are still at the top of the Eastern Conference, but they're just 1.5 games up on the Bulls now in second, two games up on the Sixers in third. They are plus 4.7, though, in the point differential. That is clearly second best in the conference, and they're still 8-2 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Heat were led by Tyler Hero off the bench, the presumed sixth man of the year. He was incredible once again, 30 points in 35 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3, and he also chipped in with 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. He did have 5 turnovers, but nonetheless, incredible scoring yet again for Hero off the bench for the Heat. As for the starters, they were led by Gabe Vincent. He had 21 points in 32 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 5 of 11 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. They also got a double-double from Bam Adebayo, 18 points and 12 rebounds in 37 minutes. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 4 assists and 2 steals. They got 15 points from Duncan Robinson. He was 5 of 7 from 3. 6 points only for Jimmy Butler. He was ice cold in this game, 2 of 14 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He was -21 in the plus minus. That was the team low, so an off night to say the least for Butler. And then PJ Tucker, rounding out the starting lineup, had 7 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And off the bench for Miami, besides Tyler Hero, they also got 12 points from Caleb Martin. In 20 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. 8 points for Max Strus. He was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 3 assists, 2 steals. And 2 points for Dwayne Dedmon, the backup big man. In 11 minutes, he was 0 of 3 from the field. And as for the Bucks, they were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course. He had 28 points in 34 minutes. He was 9 of 20 from the field, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. He had 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Then they also got 26 points from Chris Middleton, including that clutch three-pointer late. He was 8 of 20 from the field overall, but he had 4 three-pointers. He was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And then 25 points for Jrue Holiday. All of the Bucks' big three, Holiday, Middleton, and Antetokounmpo, were scoring proficiently in this game. Holiday, in 38 minutes, was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, and he was also 6 of 6 from the free throw line. So really good stuff from those three. And then they also got 15 points from Bobby Portis in 32 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then 9 points for Grayson Allen, rounding out the starting lineup. He played just 24 minutes. He had 7 rebounds. And off the bench for the Bucks, they got 5 points from Jordan Nwora in just 5 minutes, 4 points from Serge Ibaka. He played 19 minutes. He had 6 rebounds in that time, 4 points for Javon Carter, the backup point guard, in 12 minutes, and 5 points for Wesley Matthews, although he was just 1 of 6 from the field. All right, next up we can move on to New Orleans, where the Pelicans handily defeated the Sacramento Kings, 125-95. The Pelicans were led by Brandon Ingram. He had 33 points, and they also got a big double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 17 and 14, and they also got 17 points from CJ McCollum, their recent acquisition. Whereas the Kings were led by De'Aaron Fox. He had 25 points in the starting lineup. He was 9 of 18 from the field, and then they also got 19 points from Harrison Barnes and the double-double from Sabonis, 15 points and 14 rebounds. But this was just a blowout in the end for the Pelicans. It was really close throughout the first half, but then in the third quarter, New Orleans just started to pull away. They outscored the Kings 31-21, so they were leading by double digits at the end of the third quarter, and then they kept up the pressure even more in the third. In fact, the Kings just totally fell apart. They only managed 13 points in the fourth, whereas the Pelicans scored 29. So this was, like I said, a total blowout in the end. The Pelicans were very efficient in this game, 59% from the field. That is absurd shooting. They were also 37% from three, whereas the Kings were 39% from the field overall and just 22% from three. three. To be fair, they only had 11 turnovers, whereas the Pelicans had 16, but they also completely crushed the Kings on the boards, 50-38. So pretty much in every way, other than a little bit of sloppy ball handling, this was a totally dominating victory for the Pelicans. They have been playing so much better recently, especially since getting CJ McCollum. And so with this victory, they now improved to 26-36. So they are in 10th in the Western Conference, one game up on the Blazers in 11th, two games up on the Spurs in 12th, and then they are just 1.5 games behind the LA Lakers in 9th. It would just be so remarkable if the Lakers were perhaps surpassed by one of these lowly bottom six teams in the Western Conference. And of course, they've got the good news recently of Zion Williamson making progress in his recovery. Of course, it is kind of damning with faint praise because obviously he was expected to be playing the entire season and he hasn't played a single game yet. So on one hand, you could say that this whole season has been a bit of a disappointment for the Pelicans. But on the other hand, considering the Zion injury and considering how bad the Pelicans were at the beginning of the year, it has been a very encouraging run of form over the past couple of months. And they have a negative 1.9 point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. They're on a three-game winning streak right now, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Kings, this loss takes them to 23-41, so they're down in 13th. They are now 4 games behind the Pelicans in 10th, so it does not seem likely that they are going to make the play-in game at this point. And then they're 2 games up on the Thunder in 14th. And the Kings are negative 5.2 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. They are 4-6 only in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Kings were led, as I mentioned, by De'Aaron Fox. He did have 25 points in 37 minutes. He was 9 of 18 from the field, 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, but he was negative 23 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. In fact, every single player on the team was negative in the plus-minus. Usually there's like one or two guys that see the court briefly in garbage time that are positive, but no, every single guy, all 11 Kings players to see the court, were negative in the plus-minus. And so anyways, they also got 19 points from Harrison Barnes in 31 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds. 15 points and 14 rebounds from Domantas Sabonis, their recent acquisition. He wasn't very efficient, 6 of 16 from the field. He did have 7 assists, though, and 1 steal. And then 5 points for Justin Holiday, but he was just 1 of 4 from the field in 24 minutes. And 4 points for Trey Lyles. He was 1 of 5 from the field. And off the bench for the Kings, they got 12 points from Jeremy Lamb. In 26 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 7 points for Dante DiVincenzo, the former Milwaukee Buck, in 25 minutes was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. 4 points for Damian Jones in 14 minutes. And 4 points as well for Davion Mitchell, the rookie. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for Sacramento. As for the Pelicans, they were led, as I mentioned, by Brandon Ingram. He has been on fire lately. He had 33 points in this game on an incredible 15 of 19 shooting. He had 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. So really good stuff for Ingram. He was plus 21 in the plus-minus. That was a starter's high. Jonas Valanciunas had a big double-double, 17 points and 14 rebounds in 31 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 1 three-pointer, 2 assists, 1 block, 17 points for CJ McCollum in 34 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and a steal. And then they got 14 points from the rookie Herb Jones. He was 5 of 7 from the field, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and 13 points for Jackson Hayes, the other big man in the starting lineup alongside Jonas Valanciunas. He was 5 of 6 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. And off the bench for New Orleans, they got 17 points from Najee Marshall. He was 7 of 9 from the field in 16 minutes, and he had 2 three-pointers and 3 rebounds. And then they also got 4 points from Tony Snell in 23 minutes, 4 points as well for Jose Alvarado, the rookie, and 3 points for Devontae Graham. He was just 1 of 6 from the field, and 3 points as well for Trey Murphy. All right, next we can move on to Denver, where the Nuggets were disappointingly defeated by the OKC Thunder, 119-107. The Nuggets were big favorites coming into this game. They were minus 15.5, and I was a little bit scared off by that line. I was thinking, no, they'll probably win this game, but not by that much. But in the end, the Thunder won this one, and it was really the end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, where they started to pull away. They outscored the Nuggets 31-22 in the third. The Thunder were trailing by 2 at halftime, and then they were up by 7 heading into the 4th, and then they maintained that lead throughout the 4th. The Nuggets went on a little bit of a run in the middle of the 4th. They had actually cut the deficit to within a couple. It was 99-98 after a 3-pointer from Bryn Forbes with about 6 minutes to go, but then the Thunder reestablished a double-digit lead by the end of this game. So a really resilient win here for OKC fighting off that Nuggets comeback. And overall, they shot very efficiently in this game. 50% from the field, 55% from 3. They were better from beyond the arc than they were from the field overall, and they also out-rebounded the Nuggets as well. Denver was just ice cold in this game, 44% from the field, 26% from 3, and they had 16 turnovers to make matters worse. So just an off night here for the Nuggets and a good win for the Thunder. This win takes OKC to 20-42, so they're still in 14th, obviously, in the Western Conference, but they're just 2 games behind the Kings in 13th, and then they're 5 games up on the Rockets in last. And the Thunder are -6.6 in the point differential, which is, in fact, 14th in the West. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Nuggets, this loss takes them to 36-26. So they're still in 6th in the Western Conference, 1 game behind the Mavericks in 5th, and 2.5 games up on the Timberwolves in 7th. And they have a +2.6 point differential, which is, in fact, 6th in the West. And they're 8-2 still in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Thunder were led by who else but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's been really hot recently. 29 points in 37 minutes in this game, 10 of 23 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, and he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Now, he did have 7 turnovers, but he was still +22 in the plus-minus, and that was the team high. And then they also got 26 points from Isaiah Roby in 34 minutes. He was 9 of 13 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, and he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Fantastic production from Roby. And then 13 points from Trey Mann, the rookie, in 35 minutes. He was 6 of 13 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. 12 points for Darius Bazley in 33 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. And there's still no Lu Dort for the Thunder, so Alexi Pokuševski, the sophomore, was inserted into the starting lineup, and he had 9 points in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And off the bench for the Thunder, they got 9 points from Vit Krejci in 21 minutes. He was 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds. 9 points as well for Teo Maledon, the sophomore. In 18 minutes, he was 3 of 7 from the field. And 6 points for Olivier Sarr in 14 minutes, and 6 points as well for Lindy Waters in 19 minutes. And as for the Denver Nuggets, they were led by Nikola Jokic in the starting lineup. He had 22 points in 33 minutes. He was very efficient, 10 of 17 from the field, despite going 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, although he was -27 in the plus-minus, which was the team low, along with Aaron Gordon. None of the other starters scored in double digits, so Gordon was the next leading scorer. He had 9 points in 28 minutes. He was 4 of 12 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. He had 3 rebounds and 1 steal. And then they also got 8 points from Jeff Green in 21 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field. He had no rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, 3-pointers. He had 1 turnover. 6 points for Will Barton. He was ice cold in this game. 1 of 10 from the field. 0 of 9 from 3. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And 4 points for Monty Morris, rounding out the starting lineup. He was also brutal. 2 of 9 from the field. 0 of 4 from 3. He had 1 rebound, 4 assists, 3 steals. But off the bench for the Nuggets, the production was much better. They got 19 points from the rookie, Bones Highland. In 22 minutes, he was 6 of 8 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists. He was +10 in the plus-minus. They got 18 points from Bryn Forbes. He was 5 of 11 from 3, and he had 1 rebound, 3 assists. So those 10 combined 3-pointers from Bryn Forbes and Bones Highland are really carrying the Nuggets throughout portions of this game. And then they also got 9 points from Austin Rivers. He was 4 of 5 from the field. And then they also got 6 points from DeMarcus Cousins, the backup big man, in 15 minutes. He was the team high, +15 in the plus-minus, and he had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then 6 points as well for Jamichael Green. In 22 minutes, he had 10 rebounds. All right, and finally we can move on to Phoenix, where the Suns handily defeated the Portland Trailblazers, 120-90. Both of these teams completely ravaged by injury and absences at the moment. Phoenix was without Devin Booker and, of course, still Chris Paul, whereas the Blazers, after their fire sale midseason, their starting lineup was Drew Eubanks, Elijah Hughes, Josh Hart, Anfernee Simons, and CJ Elleby. So basically a who's who of third string guys or waiver wire pickups. Not exactly the most high-profile game here in Phoenix, but the Suns got the win comfortably in the end, and they were led by Cameron Johnson off the bench. He had 20 points in just 24 minutes. He was very efficient, 6 of 8 from the field, and then they also got 18 points from DeAndre Ayton in the starting lineup and 15 points from Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges. Whereas the Trailblazers were led by Brandon Williams off the bench. He had 14 points. That was their leading scorer. They also got 11 points from Anfernee Simons in the starting lineup and 13 points from Drew Eubanks. But this was just an abysmal performance by the Trailblazers. They are in full tank mode at this point, with no Yusuf Nurkic, no Damian Lillard. They were outscored in the second quarter, 34-20. So the Suns were already leading by double digits at halftime, and then they kept up the pressure in the third and fourth quarters, outscoring the Trailblazers 29-21 in the third and 28-21 in the fourth. So a complete blowout in the end, and unsurprisingly, the Suns were very efficient. 50% from the field, 38% from three, whereas the Trailblazers were just 38% from the field overall and 35% from three. And they had 19 turnovers. That is way too careless with the ball handling. The Suns did have 16 turnovers, but still, the Suns were just far superior in basically every way, and they also out-rebounded the Trailblazers 46-35. So despite being without their two leaders, Devin Booker and Chris Paul, the Suns still finding a way to win, and they now improve to 50-12 on the season. They are obviously first in the Western Conference and first in the entire NBA. They are 7 games up on the Warriors in second. They've got the league-leading plus 8.0 point differential, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. And as for the Trailblazers, this loss takes them to 25-37, so they're down in 11th now. They are one game at this point behind the Pelicans in 10th, and one game up on the Spurs, so I would not be surprised at all if they eventually fall below San Antonio. I don't know if the Kings are going to be able to catch them, but the Spurs probably will at the very least. And the Trailblazers are negative 5.3 in the point differential, which is 13th in the West. They're on a 3-game losing streak, and they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Blazers were led, as I mentioned, by Brandon Williams off the bench. In just 15 minutes, he had 14 points on 5 of 8 shooting, and he had 3 rebounds and 1 assist. So that is an indictment on your team's performance if Brandon Williams off the bench with 14 points was your leading scorer. But he was, and as for the starters, they were led by Drew Eubanks, the former Spur, in 18 minutes, had 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting. He had 8 rebounds, 1 steal. They got 11 points from Anfernee Simons in 28 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 assists, 1 steal. 10 points for CJ Ellaby. He was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 6 turnovers. 10 points for Josh Hart as well, the former New Orleans Pelican. He was 2 of 9 from the field in 23 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And 3 points for Elijah Hughes in 23 minutes. He was 1 of 8 from the field. And off the bench for the Trailblazers, besides Brandon Williams, they also got 13 points from Trendon Watford. He was 5 of 12 from the field in 30 minutes, led the team in field goal attempts. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists. 5 points for Keljan Blevins in 12 minutes. 8 points for Ben McLemore. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 steals. And 3 points for Greg Brown III, the rookie. Keon Johnson, their other rookie, the recent acquisition from the Clippers, he was 0 of 6 from the field in 20 minutes. He did not score at all. And as for the Suns, they were led, as I mentioned, by Cam Johnson off the bench. He had 20 points in 24 minutes, and he was very efficient. 6 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and he was 4 of 4 from the free throw line. And as for the starters, they were led by DeAndre Ayton. In 26 minutes, he was 9 of 12 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 15 points for Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges. Crowder was 2 of 4 from 3, 7 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals. And Bridges, he was 6 of 9 from the field. He also had 2 three-pointers, 2 assists, and 2 steals. And then 12 points for Landry Shamet. He was 4 of 12 from the field in 23 minutes. And 5 points from Cameron Payne. In 20 minutes, he was 2 of 8 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. And off the bench for the Suns, besides Cam Johnson, they also got 13 points from Torrey Craig. In 23 minutes, he was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. 5 points for JaVale McGee, the backup big man. He had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 blocks. And then they also got 9 points from Aaron Holiday in 28 minutes. He was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 9 assists. And then they got 2 points from Elfrid Payton, 3 from Bismack Biyombo, and 3 as well from Ish Wainwright. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. We can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And there was a couple of incredible options in the NBA last night. So just to run through some of the options, you had Giannis Antetokounmpo dropping 28 and 17. You had Terry Rozier with 29 and 7. Isaiah Roby out of nowhere had 26 points. Jrue Holiday had 25 and 11. And then Christian Wood had 24 points, 10 rebounds, 4 steals. And then Malcolm Brogdon was probably the closest contender to standout line of the night. He had a fantastic line, 31 points, 8 of 18 shooting, 12 of 15 from the free throw line. And he had 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So it was really tough not to go with Brogdon. But ultimately, we had to go with the double-double from Rudy Gobert. He was just incredible in the win over the Rockets in overtime. He had 27 points in 38 minutes. He was 12 of 14 from the field. Insane efficiency, and he had 17 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks. There just wasn't really much to complain with Rudy Gobert's line. The incredible efficiency, the 17 rebounds, the 2 blocks. What more can you ask for from Gobert? Of course, he didn't have any 3-pointers. He did have two turnovers, but nonetheless, Gobert is definitely going to be your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, I kind of spoiled it already, but it's going to be Isaiah Roby for the OKC Thunder. He had 26 points out of nowhere. He was 9 of 13 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, only 1 turnover. It was really an incredible performance from the big man Roby on the season. He's just averaging about 8 points and 4 rebounds. So this was obviously way above his season averages. And he actually has had 3 double-doubles in his last 6 games. He had 17 and 12 on the 16th of February, and then he had 10 and 11 on the 25th. So some good stuff recently for Isaiah Roby for the Thunder, and overall they've been playing better recently as a team. So he is your surprising line of the night, and Rudy Gobert is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Thursday, March the 3rd, and we've got 7 games on the schedule once again in the NBA today. So starting off in Atlanta, the Hawks are taking on the Chicago Bulls, and the Hawks are slight favorites. They are -1. In Brooklyn, the Nets are taking on the Miami Heat, and the Heat are -2.5. In Toronto, the Raptors are taking on the Detroit Pistons, and the Raps are -8. In Boston, the Celtics take on the Memphis Grizzlies. This is a really interesting matchup. The Celtics are slight favorites. They are -2. In San Antonio, the Spurs take on the Sacramento Kings, and the Spurs are -7. In Dallas, the Mavs are facing the Golden State Warriors, and the Mavs are -2. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Clippers are taking on the Lakers, and the Clips are -2.5. All right, so some intriguing games tonight in the NBA, to be sure. I'm super interested in that Celtics-Grizzlies matchup, two of the hottest teams in the league right now, Ja versus Jason Tatum. I'm interested to see whether or not the Grizzlies are able to, whether or not the Celtics are able to stifle Ja, because he's just been exploding offensively lately, of course, scoring a career-high 52 in that last game versus the Spurs. So I'm tempted to take the Grizzlies +2 in Boston, but the Celtics have just been so good recently. They're basically like the best team in the league over the past couple of months. They are +5.4 in the point differential, which is best in the Eastern Conference. But, I mean, the Grizzlies have been on fire as well recently. They're 8-2 in their last 10 also. So I can't wait to watch this game, but I'm going to stay away from a betting perspective. I'm also intrigued by the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Heat. The Heat are favorites. They are -2.5, but we should have Kevin Durant making his return for Brooklyn. They still won't have Ben Simmons or Kyrie Irving. So I frankly think this line seems about right, although the Heat are on the second night of back-to-back. They've had several games recently, so they might be a little bit tired, and maybe I could see the Brooklyn Nets finally turning things around here. They're on a 2-game losing streak. I could see Kevin Durant returning and dominating. So I am tempted by the Nets +2.5, but I think I'm going to stay away from that one as well. I'm also a little bit surprised to see that the Hawks are -1 at home versus the Bulls. But the Bulls have been struggling recently. They're on a 2-game losing streak. They're just 6-4 in their last 10. But the Hawks have not exactly been lighting the world on fire either. They're 4-6 in their last 10. So I don't really know which way to go on that one, but it just seems a bit odd that the Hawks are -1. So I guess that means I should probably take the Bulls +1. But gonna stay away from that one too. Ultimately, we've got 2 best bets for today. They are both Western Conference matchups, and I'm a little bit worried about both of these, frankly, but I'm gonna go with them nonetheless. We're gonna take the Dallas Mavericks -2 at home versus the Golden State Warriors, just because the Mavericks have been really dominant lately. They're 8-2 in their last 10, whereas the Warriors are just 4-6 in their last 10, and they're on a 2-game losing streak. They've been really struggling without Draymond Green, and then Klay Thompson is also out lately as well. So I think the Mavericks, led by Luka Doncic, can comfortably win this game at home. So we're going to take the Mavs -2. And then we're also going to take the LA Clippers -2.5 at home versus the Lakers. This seems like a pretty easy selection as well. Eventually, the Lakers have got to turn things around, and LeBron James seems like he should be able to turn on the Jets and win a game single-handedly at some point, but it just hasn't happened, and the Lakers are now on a 3-game losing streak. They're 3-7 in their last 10, whereas the Clippers are on fire lately. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10. So I'm a little bit worried that those streaks are going to get snapped at some point, and it might be this game. So I'm scared about the Clippers -2.5, but it just seems like the obvious bet to me. So we're going to go ahead and take the Clippers -2.5 at home versus the Lakers, and the Mavericks -2 at home versus the Warriors. All right, and that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and to preview the action for Friday, March the 4th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.